Amen. Amen. I came across an article about the Philippines in the tourist island of the city of Tibayland, or land, sorry. There's a law in that particular city, and here's the law. That all taxi drivers, now that's little scooters with three-wheel scooters in that city, every taxi driver in that city has to have, by law, a scriptural verse on the back of their taxi. It is said that that particular council gives about 3,000 licenses out every year to anybody who wants to have a taxi, on the condition that you have a text of scripture on the back of your motorcycle. And if you haven't got one, you are fined or you can lose your license. That's how important it is, this law. It's the only city in the Philippines where this law is given out. To be a taxi driver, you must have a tax on the back of your taxi. So, of course, yeah, that's what the people do. They want to earn a living, taxi drivers, to get their motorcycle. And maybe some people have been in the Philippines, little cabin over the top of it. And on the back of it, they have to go to a man who paints it. And they've been doing it for 20 years, over 20 years. A gospel tax. And here's the thing. Everyone has a different tax. Everyone has their own specific tax given to them. And so they put this on and they're driving around the city and with their tax of scripture on the back of their taxis. The councillor of the city said, I told the news, that the Bible of Wheels campaign has resulted in lower crime rates in the city and has produced stronger families. That was a testimony of this man in the city. It has done our society good. But here's the reason why. People are seeing the word of God. They're going about the streets, they're traveling up the road, and they're brought face to face with a gospel tax just written on the back of a taxi. So you can imagine what it'd be like to drive around that island face to face with a gospel tax. I'm glad I live in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland's unique for that, of course. You drive through Northern Ireland, and there's some boy going around Northern Ireland. I don't know why he's from Cumber, but there's a boy going through Northern Ireland, and he's going around all the places, and he's nailing up a little phrase in the middle of all the little villages and so on. Jesus saves. Maybe you've seen that. You've made your journey. It's everywhere you seem to go. You're brought face to face with that truth, with the text. That Jesus saves. Our land is privileged. You drive around the land and you see someone has put up a sign, a little sign, tax here on a tree, it's on a post, it's outside a church, whatever. And the word of the Lord has been given out in that fashion. Of course, we know the one outside Bangor where a brother Alan Graham, there on the side of his barn, has written the words of John 3. In verse 16, for the people who passed by, the many thousands who passed by that barn, they're brought face to face with the great truth of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, as you and I make journeys throughout Northern Ireland, we're brought face to face many times with a little tax. Well, that's what happened to me during the summer. Now I see many tax in my journeys. Making a journey the other day towards Illeskillam, and I came across this tax. We must be saved. It was actually a red sign, I believe, and there it was, hanging up on the side of a road. Acts 4, verse 12, we must be saved. And I could think of the many motorists who pass by each day, and they're confronted. They're confronted with this sign. They cannot get away from this sign. Listen, they cannot get away from this truth. What is it? We must be saved. There the sign is, by the sign of the road. We must be saved. There it is. I want you to read tonight the word of God. If you're all converted in this meeting, to read the last four words of Acts 4, verse 12. Read them personally to your heart tonight in this meeting. What does it say? Tell me, what does it say tonight? It says we must be saved. When I thought about that text for the meeting tonight, I was touched by it. I said I could prepare a message just in that little phrase. And that little phrase, we must be saved. And that's the truth tonight I want to bring to you from the pulpit. That's the message I want to bring to people who's listening in tonight. I want God to impress it upon your heart tonight that you must be saved. You must be saved. I want to say, first of all, we must be saved. Well, according to God's word, we must be saved. There are many people today in our province and throughout the world, they deny this truth. And there are many people who argue against it. And some would get angry and some would fight against this truth about being saved. And I have heard of people and they've been concerned about their soul and they've went to their so-called minister and they says to him, could you show me how to be saved? And he's looked at them and you know what he says to them? He says, you don't need to be saved. You don't need to be saved. Or are some people here tonight in this meeting and you say you don't need to be saved? We must be saved according to God's word. Here is the word of the living God, and he says we must be saved. We must be saved according to the scriptures. You and I know tonight that the holy scriptures of God, they are pure, they are perfect. They are powerful, the powerful word of God, and it pronounces to us tonight. We can read it, you can read it yourself. The living word of God tells us, according to his word, you must be saved. The argument is over. It's over. If you argue against this tonight, if you say, no, it's only the free church believes that you had to be saved, which is not true, of course. But if you say tonight to me, Noel, we don't need to be saved, or you say tonight, I don't need to be saved, you're arguing against God's word. Have you more authority in this subject than God? What authority have you got to say we don't have to be saved? Because God has proclaims here very, very boldly. Peter is preaching. He's preaching to religious Jews. And he says, we must. And you know something here tonight? He puts himself into the picture. According to the scriptures, we must be saved. I'm glad I believe the Bible. I was coming down the road today and I was thinking about that text. Why Christianity is true, why we believe that we have the true faith and all of these things. I was driving down the road this morning to preach in Cumberland. And do you know why I believe it's all true? Because I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us plainly, we must be saved. We must be saved because of the scriptures. We must be saved because of our sin. Can I say it to you? According to the Bible, we have sinned against God. Now, just not some people. Not just half of the people here tonight in the congregation, or even half of the people in Northern Ireland, or even, can we widen this out tonight, not just half of the people in the world, but everybody has sinned against God. The Bible is very clear. In Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned against God. Every one of us has taken God's holy law and we have broken it a million times into a million pieces. So we must be saved because we've sinned. Now here's a question to you tonight, unsaved person listening to my sermon. Have you sinned? Have you sinned? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever said a bad word? Surely there's no one tonight foolish enough in this meeting to say, well, I have never sinned. Of course you have sinned. We've all sinned and broken God's law. I'm not suggesting you've done very wicked things that some people have done. I'm not suggesting that. But nevertheless, you have sinned against the Lord. And if you have sinned against the Lord, you're in your defilement and sin. Sin has a grip of you tonight. And here's the truth of the Bible. You must be saved. Because of your sin, you must be saved. Remember, it says of Christ, for he shall save his people, what? From their sins. That's what it says in the Bible. So we must be saved when we come to the Word of God because of the Scriptures, because of our sin. And we must be saved because of our soul. Remember, it says in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36 and verse 37, well, what should a profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And here the Bible tells us something very, very clear, that man's soul is going to be lost. It's precious. And he could lose his soul, and he could lose his soul in hell for all eternity. Don't save tonight and it's meeting your soul within your breast tonight. It's the most precious possession that you possess. And it must be saved. It must be saved. You say, where is my soul? It's inside you. You say, I've never seen it. No, you haven't. But have you ever seen your heart? Have you ever seen your lungs? Have you ever seen parts of it? Well, I haven't seen parts of mine. But I believe that they are. And God has placed a soul, an eternal soul within your body. It's the most precious possession you have tonight, and it needs to be saved. The teaching of the Bible. I said to you earlier on, this is our authority, the authority of the Word of the living God. When I come to the Bible, because of the Scriptures, because of sin, because we have a soul, we must be saved. Now, don't deny it tonight, unsaved person in this meeting. You have to be saved. You must be saved because of the Savior. Remember, it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek, listen, and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus Christ come into this world? Why did he leave heaven? Why did he come down into this world of darkness and wickedness? Listen, he came to save us. Why? Because we must be saved. We must be saved. Remember, he says himself in John 5, verse 34, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things that I say, that you might be saved. I want you to think tonight, the coming of Christ came to save us. His conversation, his communication, he talks here that you might, what? That you might be good. No, that you might be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us here that you must be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has said in his word? That you might be saved. You can see here the picture of building. You cannot hide from it. You cannot deny it. You cannot argue against it. You cannot be your authority upon this solemn, solemn, serious subject. We must be saved according to the Scriptures in these different ways I'm showing you tonight. Because of the saints, we must be saved. Others in the Word of God spoke of this term. The saints of God of old talked about being saved. Remember Jeremiah. In chapter 8, verse 20, he said, he's lamenting the sin of the people, and he said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. And we're not saved. That's you tonight in this meeting, and you're not saved. Here are men preaching it in the Scriptures. You must be saved. What about Isaiah, the mighty prophet of God? In Isaiah 45 and verse 22, the Lord spoke through him and he says, look unto me and be ye saved. To be saved, there he is. Do you see Isaiah, the man of God? He's standing on the streets of Jerusalem and he's preaching to the people who's passing him by. And the Lord is speaking through his servant, look unto me and be ye saved. Well, Apostle Paul spoke about being saved. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, who has saved us. Peter the saint, he's talking here in this passage. And he's looking at religious people. And he says, we must be saved. So in the Scriptures, the language, the message of the saints in the Scriptures, the Word of God, is clear, we must be saved. See, we must be saved according to God's word because of the saints. We must be saved because of salvation. I asked you the question tonight, who will be in heaven? Who will walk the golden streets? Well, some people have said, well, those who have done their best. Those who have tried to live a good life. Now, I'm not against people trying to be good and help people, but that will not save you. Who will be with Christ for all eternity, who will walk the golden streets, who will enter in through the pearly gates of heaven. Are you listening? Are you listening to the answer tonight? Because I'm going to give the answer from the Bible. Over in Revelation 21, verse 24, here's what it said. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. You can look at that verse yourself. In Revelation 21, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Who's going to walk the golden streets of heaven? Who is it? It's those who are saved. And I want you to see tonight that it's not enough to be religious. It's not enough to go to this, come to this church. It's not enough to say I've been baptized. It's not enough to read my Bible to get to heaven. It's those who are saved according to God's word will walk in heaven. Now if you are here tonight, and there may be some listening, and there may be some here tonight, and you are fighting against us, and you're pointing at the others, well, they said they're saved. Well, you don't have to be saved. What does the Bible say? God's word is our final authority on this. We must be saved. So let's put all your arguments to one side. I want you to embrace the word of God, and to receive the word of God, and to receive the truth of God tonight, that you, if you want to be in heaven, if you want everlasting life, if you want to be saved from hell, you must be saved. That's what the sign said on the side of a road. We've sort of stopped at this little sign on the side of the road and looking up at it. And that's what one lesson we see. We must be saved according to God's word. Where it says what? Acts 4, verse 12. Doesn't say, says Peter. Doesn't say that. It says Acts 4, verse 12. That is God's word. And you must be saved. Can I say a second thing here about this? We must be saved not only because of God's word, but because of God's wrath. We must be saved. Now I want you to notice tonight, there is such a thing as the wrath of God. I could come tonight to the pulpit, and Mr. Martin no doubt does as well, and preach to you about the great love of God. How he loves us. And loves us with eternal love. And the goodness of God and the kindness of God. All these wonderful things. But we have to be honest tonight. We have to be honest with the word of God and preach the whole counsel of God. There's such a thing tonight as the wrath of God. Because God is angry. And God is angry with the world. And God is angry with sinners tonight. And his wrath, according to the Bible, is going to fall upon this world. I just want to read some verses. It has a divine wrath because Apostle John in Revelation 16 verse 1 says, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out your vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And I want you to know, here's the end of the world. And there's a voice, and the voice is speaking to the angels, and is commanding the angels, go and pour out the vials of wrath, or can I say, the wrath of God upon the earth. There's a terrible day coming for this world, when the wrath of God will fall upon this world. God is angry. God is angry with sinners. They rebelled against him. They have sinned against him. They refuse to come to him. They refuse to repent. And he's angry. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day he's angry. He's angry with you. He's angry with you unsaved tonight in this meeting. You are rebelling against him. You're living a life of wickedness. You're living a life of sin. You refuse to come to Jesus Christ. And God's wrath is going to fall upon this world. Remember Job said in Job 36 verse 18, because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke, and a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And Job was preaching this message. Because there's wrath, beware. God is angry. He's angry with the life you've lived. He's angry with the sins you've committed. He's angry with many times you've broken his law. He's angry. And so we read here of the wrath of God falling upon sinners and upon earth. We think of divine wrath. We think of the destruction of this wrath. Those who are unsaved will find great destruction. Of course, the Bible teaches about heaven for those who belong to Christ. We were speaking about that. Who will walk in heaven? Well, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those who are saved will walk in heaven. But those who are not saved will lose their soul for all eternity in hell. And we had to be honest preachers. We had to be honest with the Bible. We can't hide it. We can't butter it up. And we certainly can't water this down, the truth of the wrath of God. There's a place called hell. And if you read the Bible, and you've heard it many times from our pulpits, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he preached more on hell than he did in heaven. And he warned. He looked at the old Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, and he says, "How shall ye escape the damnation of hell?" And there is a place of hell. Remember, the Lord Jesus said these words. I'm going to read to you here from the Word of God. Matthew 25, speaking to the goats, he said to them, and the sheep and the goats, he says, "Then shall he say also unto them, the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Do you hear who's saying these words? The Lord Jesus. Do you hear what he's saying to people who's not saved? Who never came to him? Who never trusted him? Who never left their sin? He says, "Depart from me, you cursed, and everlasting fire." That's what he says. He's angry. He's cross. And God's wrath, his justice, is falling upon the sinner because they sinned against him. A great and mighty and holy God, they broke his laws and refused to come. Remember verse 46 of the same chapter, Matthew 25, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." There are many, many other verses in the Word of God. Revelation 20, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," listen, "was cast," where? "Into the lake of fire." That's the teaching of the Bible. Listen, this wrath is true. It's terrifying. You must be saved. If you don't want to lose your soul, if you don't want to go to hell, if you don't want to be punished for your sin, then you must be saved. You must be saved. Oh, this wrath is upon sinner even now. Remember in John 3, verse 36, "The wrath of God abideth on him." He hates all sin. His anger burns against the sinner because they're not saved. You must be saved. I want you to see tonight the danger that you're in. That you have failed God. That you have sinned against him. And you're in great trouble because sin has got you into trouble with God. And you'll lose your soul. And you'll lose your soul for all eternity. And you'll be cast down into hell for all eternity if you're not saved. God pours out his wrath upon the sinner. You'll be among that number. If you die in your sin like a rich man, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, you'll find yourself under God's wrath. You must be saved. Don't hide from it. Don't argue about this matter tonight. You've sinned against God. One writer said, "The greatest bane is God. And each time you sin, you commit the highest crime against the greatest bane." God ought to be angry. And I say to you tonight, he is. God is angry. He is angry. He's long-suffering, of course. He's long-suffering. But not always, not always. One day, according to the Bible, he will unleash his fury, his wrath upon the ungodly. And sinners, you can read that, but not take time to look at it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. When Christ comes in flaming fire, destruction will fall upon the unsaved. Eternal destruction. You must be saved. A man will deserve it, of course. They have lived a life without Christ. They have rebelled against him. And whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's his own doing, of course. You see, he talks in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, "was delivered us from the wrath to come." the wrath to come. People were saved from the wrath of God to come. Now listen here tonight. We must be saved according, because of God's wrath. We must be saved according, as we notice first, to God's word. Now I believe that tonight. I wouldn't be standing here in this pulpit preaching if I didn't believe these things. I would be the biggest liar in the world if the things were not true. But we believe them. God has written them in the pages of truth here for us to see tonight and to proclaim to people that you must be saved. You're in great trouble tonight. Oh, God is angry with the wicked. I say it to you every day. You must be saved. And you must be saved. Because of God's wrath. There's another lesson, can I say, from our little text by the side of a road. We must be saved according to God's way. We must be saved according to God's way, you see. The God who tells us that we must be saved. Here's the wonderful truth. He tells us how to be saved. And remember Peter. Peter's preaching here with power. And he's preaching here with boldness. And he tells the people how to be saved. Remember he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Peter is saying to the people, if you're going to be saved, I want to say to you here, there's no other name. There's no other one can save you but Jesus Christ. Because you read the context of this passage. Remember, a great miracle had been done in Acts chapter 3. And they're wondering, how was this man? How did he get raised onto his feet? And he said, I tell you how it happened. It was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's the name of Jesus. And he's saying to these men, looking them right into the eyes, and he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's saying to them, there's no other name, there's no other one can save us but Jesus. But that would humble these old religious men. There were Pharisees that had laws at that length, and probably faces to go along with them as well. They went about trying to work their way into heaven, out in the public, showing off in their prayers and their almsgiving and their boasting and all the rest of it. But Peter says, if you want to be saved, if you want to be saved, there's only one name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. We were singing that tonight. Jesus saves. Jesus said, we were singing tonight, I believe Jesus saves, and his blood washes whiter than snow. He's the Savior. Came into this world, as I've said. He came to save us. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He stood in the sinner's place. And God's wrath fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he cried out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? He's being punished for our sin. He's dying for us. The Lord Jesus suffered and bled and died upon the cross to save us. And they looked up to Christ. You know what they said to him? They said, save thyself. Save thyself and us. But the Lord Jesus Christ would not save himself because he came to save us. And he died, was buried, he rose again from the dead. Peter told him about the resurrection, but God raised him from the dead. He says that there in verse 10, he raised Christ from the dead. And Peter is saying, Christ can save you. And there's no other name. That's God's way of salvation. Send the Son into the world to save us. Some people say, no, it's DIY, I can do it myself. It's how I live my life. It's what church I go to. It's by what prayers I will say. It's by what deeds I will do. How I help people. How I love people and so on. But that is not the case. We must be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember? The Lord says himself, look unto me and be ye saved. Repent and believe the gospel. We are to turn from our sin and come to Jesus Christ. Remember, it says in John 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. But notice these words, that the world through him might be saved. Underline those words in your Bible, that the world through him might be saved. And there's no other way. And if we're ever going to be saved, we must be saved according to God's way. It's through him. It's through Jesus. He did all the work. He died in our place. He lived that righteous life. He never sinned. He went to the cross and bled and died for our sins and rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. He is the Savior. And if we trust him, if we repent from our sin, and God is saying, trust my Son for eternal life and you'll be saved. And you'll have everlasting life. And it's a free gift. And you don't have to work for it. And you're not glad tonight, sinner. You don't have to work for salvation. You don't have to pay for salvation tonight. It's a free gift. God will give it to you. He'll reach out to you. Christ is saying, come unto me all, you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what he's saying. Come to him by faith. Turn from your sins. Call upon him. Remember Paul wrote those great words, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? If you call tonight in this meeting, the Lord will save you. And if you want to be saved, you must be saved in God's way. You just can't tick a box. I want to follow this religion. I want to follow Islam. I want to follow the Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to follow the Church of Rome. I want to follow this and that. No, no, you must be saved according to God's way. And there's no other way. Remember Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, he says, but by me. And there's no other way, and there's no other Savior but Jesus Christ. I came across a story in closing. A man was blind. He had one of those Bibles that he read by running your fingers along the words. And he was out reaching the people with the gospel. And there he was standing preaching. And the man who was passing by looked and saw the crowd. And he went up out of curiosity to look in to see what was happening. And the wee blind man had got lost. And where he was, he's running his fingers over the word. And he came to that part, none other name. None other name. None. And the people were sort of laughing at him because the wee man had got lost. But the man who had joined the crowd, he had been concerned about his soul. He had been thinking about eternal things and the way of salvation. And he turned and went away home. When he went home, you know what night, you know all he heard was none other name. None other name. He went to bed and all he heard was none other name. None other name. He got up the next morning and it was still ringing through his head. There's none other name. And he saw it all. He saw that he must come to Jesus Christ. He says, I see it all. I have been trying to be saved by my own works, by my repentance, by my prayers, by my reformation. I see it's my mistake. It's Jesus alone that can save me. He saw it all. The wee blind man standing. And all he heard was this. There's none other name. I want to say that to you in closing. There's none other name. There's no other Savior. And if you want to be saved, you must come to Jesus. You must confess you're a sinner and lost without him. You must believe he died for you. You must trust him. His blood can wash away your sin. And there's power in the blood of Christ to cleanse you from sin tonight in this meeting. And remember in closing John 10 verse 9, know what he says? I am a door by me. If any man enter in, he shall what? He shall be saved. Not amazing? You come to this meeting tonight and you're not saved. You can go out through the door saved. I'm here to help people. There's all our elders. There's all our people here tonight. Robert's here. But I'd love to speak with people. We must be saved. And you must be saved. And you must be saved in God's way. And you must be saved from God's wrath. And you must be saved because of God's word. You must come to Christ. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight and be saved? You never regret it, you know. You never regret coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I regret I never got saved earlier in life. Would you come tonight and trust him? I hope the word will burn into your heart until you do come. And the Lord can save you tonight, or it's too late. Don't lose your soul. Don't go on without Christ. but come to him. Let's close in a word of prayer. We're here to help people, as I already said, and if you want to speak to us, well, do speak with us. But we trust you've listened to God's word. Read it yourself and see if I'm right in what I'm saying tonight, and you'll find I'm right. And I pray you'll come to Christ. Lord, we thank you for being with us and for help given in the preaching of the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to people who's listening in and people who's here about they must be saved. And even tonight, to get on their knees now and to ask the Lord Jesus to save them, come into their hearts and to wash away their sin, to save their soul. But that, Lord, tonight, if I do that, even where they're sitting now in the meeting, you will hear their voice and cry and save them. And bless this congregation. Bless the week of meetings with Robert. Bless the congregation, Mr. Martin, and them, and the days that lie ahead. And Lord, visit us with thy great mercy. Take us our separate ways now until our homes in safety. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.